Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So I'm going to read down to verse 9 and then verses 13 and 14. It says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was." Verse 13, "But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them." Let's just bow our heads. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, again this night, we do thank you for your word. Your word brings light. Your word brings clarity. And it brings understanding, spiritual understanding. It helps us to understand the times that we live in so that we can know what we ought to do. And Lord, we neglect your word at our own peril, really. If we neglect your word, what are we left with? We're left with the thoughts and the opinions and the schemes of man. We're left with news which are increasingly, Lord, we are coming to understand is misinformation, most of it. Lord, whatever the motive is for that, or even if the motive is, if there's no motive there at all, but it's because of lack of understanding on their part. Father, we cannot rely on this world, Lord, to guide us into truth, but your word does. And Lord, not just in matters spiritual, of course, that is of vital importance. But Lord, we live in this world, and Lord, we are people that have practical needs as well as spiritual needs. We have social needs as well as spiritual needs. Lord, we're entire people, body, soul, spirit. We are as you created us to be. And Lord, and Father, I just pray that your word, Lord, will speak to our hearts and minds and give us clarity of thought, not just this evening, but over these next few weeks, that as we consider some of these issues that are paramount at the moment, that face us all at the moment, we may wish to put them to one side and sweep them under the carpet and not speak about them. But Lord, these are big issues that face us all, and Lord, we have to deal with some of these things. And Lord, on our own, we're lost. But Lord, we pray that you'll bring us clarity of thought through your word. Help us this evening as we consider these things. Speak to our heart. May we understand how your word applies to us this day. For this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this evening, we're starting this new series. I'm not really going to call them Bible studies, messages, whatever you want to call it. We're starting this new series, which I am calling Perilous Times, God's Word for Today. Now, this evening's message is really going to be introductory to explain some of the things that perhaps we're going to be thinking about in coming weeks, and really to explain why. Why I feel on my heart compelled, constrained, really, to speak about these things now. And I cannot get away from it. I cannot ignore it. There are real issues. You all know what I'm talking about. There are real issues that face us all right now. And as I've just said, even as we were praying there, at the end of the day, if you listen to the mainstream media every day, if you listen to the news or watch the news on TV or you get it on the internet or whatever you do, if you buy the daily newspaper, I haven't bought a newspaper for I don't know how decades, I think. But if that's the way you get your news, the fact of the matter is at the very best, it's biased. It's biased. Sometimes it is deliberately misleading. Either way, you will not find your way through all this by just following that. But we as God's people are in an extremely privileged position. We have the Word of God. And so the purpose of these messages is to see if we can bring the Word of God to bear on some of these subjects, some of these issues that we're dealing with. That's my purpose. I don't want to be controversial. I don't want to present what some people, I'm sure, will accuse me of as being conspiracy theories, some of it. If that's what people think of me, well, that's up to them. But at the end of the day, I am not looking to present conspiracies. I am not looking to present fake news or misrepresent things or people. I want to see what the Bible has to say about these issues. That's my purpose. Okay, so I have called this Perilous Times, God's Word for Today. And obviously, I have taken the title from the first verse of 2 Timothy chapter 3 that says, But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, it says. Now, if you have a Bible with marginal references in, you might have an alternative translation of that word perilous there. And if, as in my New King James Version with marginal references, it says that can be translated as times of stress or stressful times. So it could read, in the last days, stressful times will come. Okay, so that's one rendition, as it were, of the Greek word. I looked up the Greek word. By the way, I think the NIV, if I'm right there, says terrible times. Is that right, Heather? Yeah. So NIV has terrible times. I looked up the Greek, and it carries these kind of meanings. Hard, furious, ferocious even. So in other words, what this is saying is, in the last days, hard, difficult, stressful, perilous times will come. And I don't think anyone would disagree with me if I said that aptly describes the times we are living in now. I don't think anyone, surely no one would disagree with me, that these are hard, difficult, stressful times that we are living in. I have never in my life lived through a time like this, and neither have you. None of us have. Never lived through times like these. I know a lady, and she's 90 now. And so therefore, she was alive during the war. She said, there's never been a time like this. These are strange times we're living in. These are difficult and stressful times. And while we could all say there are always people worse off than us, and that is true. That is certainly true. And as a matter of fact, I would say we should always keep that before our eyes. There's always people worse off than us. In fact, there are millions upon millions of people in this world who are in a position where they're infinitely worse off than we are. Nevertheless, I would say it's still hard for all of us in all sorts of ways. However much we might want to say it's harder for somebody else, it's hard for you. I don't mean to speak for anybody else. But I guess it's hard for you. These are stressful and difficult times. See, I know people who are afraid to go out. That's hard. That is stressful. I know people who are so bound up with fear, they're afraid to leave the house. That's terrible. That's difficult. I know people who have barely left the house since last March. I'm talking about not people who live in, you know, a big house in the country, like some of these politicians who are making all the rules, who've got a couple of acres of land to wander around in. I'm talking about people who live in a tiny little place and have hardly been out since March, who would desperately love to go out. That's hard. Don't care what anybody says. You say, well, you've got your television. No, that's hard. Person phones me up in an evening crying. Can't sleep at night. That's hard. The things going round and round in the mind. We've been stopped from seeing our children and our grandchildren. That's hard. The kids, they're not allowed to go to school and be with the friends. It's not just about education. You can say, well, you can get your education on the internet. It's true. You can read a book. It's true. But there's more to it than that. It's about social interaction with other people. You know, God made us to be social creatures. There are few people in this world who can exist on their own and be happy. There are some, but that's a gift of God, by the way. Because God made us to be social creatures, and to deprive little children of social interaction with other children, that is hard for them. And I fear that there are a generation of children who will grow up. This seems to be going on for a very long time. There's no end to this, from what I can see. I fear that there will be a generation of little children who will grow up maladjusted because they have not had the interaction with other people. That's hard. That's stressful. We're in and out of lockdowns and restrictions, and rules are constantly changing. That's difficult. Today we don't know. You don't even know whether the rules have changed. The Prime Minister a couple of months ago was asked what the latest, he even didn't know. So what up for the rest of us? Oh, we don't think I'm complaining, by the way. I'm just saying how it is. We know these things are true. Every day, the mainstream media bombard people with the same grim news of a rising rate of infections and a rising death toll. Every day it's there in the face, on the television screen or on the radio. And then when it reaches 100,000 allegedly, you know, I turn the radio on the morning, they say, this is a grim day. We've reached 100,000 dead. And every day, it's the same thing. There's the rollout of these vaccines, followed by statements like, no one's safe till everyone's safe, which loosely translated means they want everyone on planet Earth. I mean, you're talking about 7 billion people. No one's safe, they say, until everyone's had it. And yet in the same breath, they tell us they don't know if it's going to stop you getting it. They don't know if it's going to stop you transmitting it. You are still going to have your face mask on. In fact, now they're talking about it might be better to wear 2, 3, or even 4 face masks. Some people can't breathe with one on. And they don't know if it's going to stop you transmitting. You're still going to have to stay in lockdown. Ex-Prime Minister of Republic of Ireland the other day said he sees next Christmas being like last Christmas. That's even if they get 80% of the population to have it. So even if you have it, you're still staying in, folks. And so as well as that, you see, you get various views coming from various different people as to whether these vaccines are ethical or whether they're even safe. Some say yes, some say no. But it seems, and this is what I find extremely difficult, whichever view you have, by the way, it's up to you. But what I find extremely difficult is this. There can be no discussion. There can be no discussion. If anyone disagrees with the official narrative or even questions the efficacy or the safety of these vaccines, it doesn't matter how qualified they may be to ask the question or to make the statement, immediately they're shut down or they're excluded. But whatever, there can be no conversation. Or else they are accused of being conspiracy theorists, or they are accused, or you are accused of reading or listening to or even propagating misinformation or anti-vax propaganda and endangering lives, even if you just ask the question. Immediately, there, or you, if you ask the question, or if you pass on some information, immediately, you are accused of being a COVID denier. Well, let me tell you something before we go any further. I'm not a COVID denier. No. I am not a COVID denier. Let no one say that I am. I know people have got sick. I know people have died. Nobody in the right mind will deny that. But to dub someone as a COVID denier just because they asked the question, or pass on an alternative statement, what is that all about? That's to shut down conversation. It seems as though there is only one message that is allowed. And you see, that can be difficult. That can be stressful, hard to take, especially for those of us who thought we lived in a land and a culture where free speech was sacrosanct. We thought there was free speech. We thought you were allowed to say what you felt. But it seems we live in a culture where people can go out and riot. I mean, I'm thinking about the States, particularly here. They can go out and riot. They can burn down whole districts in the name of BLM. And nobody bats an eyelid. Everyone takes the knee. But if somebody has a rally, no matter how peaceful it might be, like an anti-lockdown rally or something like that, the police come in. And that's in a so-called free society. That can be stressful. That can be hard to take, I would suggest to you. And the same goes for politics or your views on things like the LGBTQ agenda. Okay, if anyone is a supporter of President Trump, they are called white supremacist racists. Huh? If you believe in biblical moral values, you are called intolerant bigots. Hate speech is what it is. I've said enough from this pulpit to probably put me away for several years. They call it hate speech. Isn't it hate speech at all? Not at all. I don't hate anyone who is in that position. I feel sad for them. I feel sorry for them. I believe they need to repent. I believe they need to have the forgiveness and salvation that only God can offer. But it isn't hate speech. If you don't wear a face mask walking down the street, somebody might give you a dirty look and insinuate that you're some kind of COVID spreader. You can be fined for meeting up with people in the street. If you sit up, I was in town the other day, and I'm walking, we're going to one of the only shops that is open in town, B&M Bargains. And I'm walking along, there's two ladies there sat on a bench having the lunch. And I nearly went to them and I said, you want to be careful, love. Policeman comes by, you can get arrested for that. But I didn't in the end, I just left it. But you could. You could. If you're a pastor and you decide, enough's enough, we're going to have a meeting just like we used to before. No more limitations on numbers. No more spaced out chairs. No more face masks. We're going to do what we do. You know, everybody can come. Put an advert in the paper. Say, oh, welcome. And we have, you know, however many people we can fit in here. And we do that. Do you know the pastor can get 10 grand for that? Fine. £10,000 for the pastor, that one. And that's, I mean, you could say we are fortunate because at least we can meet. Let's be grateful for small mercies. But I'm just saying, if we decided we were going to do it as we did before, £10,000 for that, for the pastor. Policeman saw wishes. And so it goes on. And see, after almost a year of this, it is all really beginning to take its toll on people. I can see it on people's faces. Sometimes I come in here, I could see it written all over somebody's face. I don't even have to ask what's wrong, because I know. So I know how I feel. People have lost their jobs. Businesses have gone bust. People have invested the life, invested the money in a business. They've worked hard at it. They've built it up and it's gone. Through no fault of their own, government said, got to shut down. You're going to have high streets in towns that are empty. Just waiting for what? You know what? Big business comes in. The billionaires come in. They buy up that high street for next to nothing. It's a takeover. That's what it is. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, Ian. You watch. It's already happening. You just watch. Get your eyes open. That's what it's about. You ruin the businesses. I heard, probably a couple of decades ago, I heard that there was a plan. How's this for a conspiracy? There was a plan, and what it amounted to was that in time to come, the business of this world would be, all of it would be owned, really, by a handful of people. He said, well, how are they going to do that? You are watching it. As one business after another falls like dominoes, you're watching it happen. And then they'll come in and they'll take the lot. That's what's happening. You're a conspiracy theorist, Ian. She'll be locked up. Pulling out misinformation. People have lost their jobs. Businesses have gone bust. Many churches will never open again. I'm telling you that now. Up and down this land, villages, towns, churches everywhere, many of them will never, ever come back. Sorry to sound negative, but I'm telling you the truth. Many of them didn't. They're not coming back. You can't travel. You can't go on holiday. You can't even have a day out. You can't even go for a meal. And we thought we lived in a free country. And all within less than a year. Could you have believed it? If somebody had have told you this last year, would you have believed it? I wouldn't. I'd have said, well, you've been reading a novel. You must have been reading some mad scientific, you've been reading George Orwell or something, I don't know. But here we are. You can't even go for a meal. I'm sure we all agree these are stressful, difficult and perilous times. What people, even some Christians, don't want to accept, it seems, though, is that these are the last days. What does it say again in verse 1? Know this. In the last days, perilous times will come. What I'm saying is this. I think few people would disagree that these are stressful and difficult times. But I find there are some people not willing to accept that these are the last days. And when I say last days, by the way, I'm talking about the last days before the rapture. The last days before the commencement of the tribulation. The last days of this present era that we're living in. That's what I mean by the last days. Oh no, it can't be that. Can't be that. That must be hundreds of years off. So this then is at least partly what these Sunday evenings are going to be about. Now, this last almost 12 months now, I have to say, has revealed some interesting things to me. Not things that I wanted to particularly see, but I've noticed some things about Christians, I mean. And again, I'm not being critical. This is just an observation. Okay. What I've discovered is that there are kind of like several groups, if you like, into which Christians fall regarding these things, I mean. For example, there's kind of like one group who basically, well, let's just say, they don't read the Bible at all. Scarcely ever read the Bible at all, and certainly not prophecy. And have almost zero interest in any of it. Needless to say, they are completely clueless. They have not got a clue what's going on right now, because they don't read the Bible at all, and they have no interest in it. Their interest is in perhaps what the politicians say, or what who says, or whatever. What Chris Whitty, or whatever he's called, say. Their interest is in, they're not looking at the Bible. They don't read the Bible, and they are clueless. I feel very sad for them. I feel sad for the world, but they don't have a, well, they have a Bible, but they're not amongst the Christian church, and so they wouldn't have a clue where even to start. But I'm talking about people who profess to be Christians, don't even read the Bible. Well, they're clueless. But then there are those who read the Bible, but they avoid things like prophecy, who leave well alone, shall we say, thinking that such things can't really be understood by any of us. And at best, if you look at prophecy, I'm talking about like end times prophecies, that when they look at them, they say, well, you know, it's all kind of to me, you know, you've got over here, you've got your pre-millennialists, and over here you've got your amillennialists, and then over there there's the post-millennialists, and then the over there's the pan-millennialists. You know who they are, don't you? The pan-millennialists. They're the ones who don't care. They just say it all pans out in the end anyway. That's your pan-millennialists. So they just say, well, these people, they can't even agree on it themselves. So what hope have I got? And so they read the Bible, but they avoid things like prophecy. And then there are others, and this is what I find curious, or have found curious. There are others who actually take an interest in Bible prophecy. And they actually like to talk about things like the rapture and the second coming and the tribulation and, you know, the Antichrist and the mark of the beast and all those things they find interesting and fascinating. And yet, it's as though they've relegated it all to some time else, some time in the future maybe, some time that's safely out of reach, shall we say. So they have an interest, but it's a sort of theoretical interest in last days things. But what they can't seem to do is join up the dots, shall we say. They can't seem to see how what is happening now relates to what they've read in the Bible, or what they read in the Bible relates to this. They just can't seem to join the dots together. And then there are those who can and do, who read the Bible, who read Bible prophecy, and they take it seriously, and they take it literally. And as a result of that, they are able to understand the times. They can see what's happening. They hear what's being said by the politicians and the scientists and the chief movers and shakers in the political realm and the social realm and the religious realm and the economic realms. And they're able to join up the dots, as it were, and see how it fits with what the Bible says. And it does fit. That is the thing. It does fit. You don't need to have a leap of imagination to see how it fits. It's in your face. See, things have changed massively. Things have changed massively. If you go back a few years, you really had to dig. And I mean, I know because, well, I've been preaching on this stuff for years. You know what I mean? If you caught me back in the 80s, I was never a date setter, but I was sure the Lord were coming, like, you know, soon. In fact, I was that convinced, I almost went round and knocked on people's doors and told them so. At one point, I didn't. But I was that convinced. I thought the Lord were coming then. But back then, and when I first started preaching, thing is, you see, you really had to dig. We used to talk about the coming New World Order. We talked about the push for globalism. We talked about the coming cashless society. We talked about the mark of the beast system and how that might work. We talked about barcodes and all that, didn't we, Alan? We talked about all those kinds of things. And we wondered, didn't we, how they would get the whole of the world to take this mark. We wondered how they would. We knew it would happen. We believed it would happen. But we sort of wondered, how are they going to bring this off? How are they going to do this? How are they going to so control people that they will not be able to buy and sell without having that mark? How are they going to do that amongst 7 billion people in the world? But you see, now, you don't have to dig at all. You really don't have to dig at all. They are announcing it all publicly, openly. They are announcing what they intend to do. And we can even see the plan in action, full on. It's right there in front of your eyes. That is what this is all about. You can see the plan in action. And if you can't see it, you are either blind or else you've got your blinkers on. You need to take them off because it's in your face. As I said, I'm not covering it up anymore. I'm going to put some stuff up on the screen in the next few weeks. I mean, I mentioned the other week about the World Economic Forum and all that kind of stuff. They are announcing to you and to the world, this is how it's going to be. We need to do this, they say. And I say, well, who's we? Who is we? We need to do this. We need to do that. We need to do that. Who's saying we? Who are the we? Shall I tell you who they are? They are unelected people. Nobody elected them to make decisions for you. You thought you lived in a democracy. No, you don't. It's like a fella said the other day, Ursula von der Leyen, president of the EU. Who voted for her? 343 people-ish. There are about 450 million people in the EU. Not a one of them got a vote. But she's president. Is that democracy? Come on. You see, so the people are saying, we have to do this. What they mean is, you have to do it. But you never put them in that position to tell you what should. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, Ian. You're a conspiracy theorist. You've been reading too much conspiracy. No, I've not. This is fact. It's in your face. And you can see the plan working out. The curious thing is that when you try to tell some people, Christians I mean, about these things, when you say this is that, some of them, they look at you like you're some kind of crackpot conspiracy theorist. Some of them say, well, of course, that's your interpretation. That's your opinion. That's your interpretation, Ian. You are like that. Well, we'll see, won't we, over the next few weeks. Albeit, my guess is, the people who think like that probably won't be watching this anyway. But we shall see. Because my contention is, they are putting it in your face. There's no excuse for not knowing then. It's there. The globalist elite, the puppet masters who are pulling all the strings that control the various heads of government in the main power blocks and nations of this world, who also control the mainstream media, they are putting it in your face. Yet those sceptical Christians just can't see it. They're blind. So that's what this is all about. That's what this is going to be about. It's also about seeing what is going on right now through the perfect lens of Scripture. It's about understanding our times so that we know what we ought to do as Christian people. I don't want to spend my time or waste your time just telling you what other things, what other people are doing and all the bad stuff that you already know. What we are interested in, I trust, as Christians, is, well, what do we do then? If this is where we find ourselves, what are we supposed to do in these perilous times? See, some people might say, oh, I know you, Ian, I know what you're like. I know what you're going to do with all of this. I know the kind of stuff that you're going to present. You're going to bring all this end times prophecy stuff and you're going to scare people. That's the trouble with you. It's scary, some of this stuff. You're going to frighten people. Well, let me just say this. I have no interest in scaring anyone. I'm not interested in frightening people. As far as I can see, there's enough going on out there to scare people, to frighten people. You don't need that from me. This is about understanding what is happening from the point of view of the Word of God and understanding how to apply the Word of God to the situation that we find ourselves in. It's about understanding the situation that we're in from the point of view of God's truth. And Luke, we as Christians, we either want this or we don't. And if we don't, then what you're left with, let me tell you, is BBC, ITV, whoever, whatever else there is. That's what you're left with. The Daily Mirror. Whatever you do. That's what you're left with. That what you want? Or you can have it from the standpoint of the Word of God. I know which I prefer. As I say then, this was meant really as an introduction this evening. But in coming weeks, if the Lord tarries, because seriously now, seriously, we are that close. Jesus is coming. Soon we're going to be out of here. Okay, so until the day, whenever that is, over these next few weeks, if the Lord tarries, we're going to be looking at various subjects in the light of Scripture. And I intend to think about and to speak about all the things that confront us at this time. Yes, that includes vaccines. However much flack I get from it, I am going to include that at some point. See, I said to somebody the other day, besides salvation, these issues that we are facing now are the biggest issues that all of us have to face. Salvation is the biggest of them all. And there's nothing comes close to that. Let me say that. For the last few weeks, we've been in the gospel at the end of Mark. That is paramount. And if it so happens that anybody listens to this or watches this and you're not saved yet, let me just say something to you. You cannot sit on the fence forever. In fact, there's no fence to sit on. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. There is no fence. If you're not for him, if you're not saved, you are unsaved. And you are in an extremely dangerous position right now, because when Jesus comes back, this world is in tribulation. So I'll get saved then. I hope you do. But if you do, you've got to understand that that is going to be the hardest time in all human history to be a believer, and they'll probably take your head off. I'm not exaggerating. Now is the day of salvation. You can't keep putting it off forever, my friend. You know, so salvation is the biggest issue. I mean, where you spend eternity depends on whether or not you are saved. I mean, what are you waiting for? What's to wait for? Is it like, I'm having a good time at the moment. Like, I'll leave becoming a Christian until I'm so old and so tired I can't do anything else, and then I'll do it then. No, you won't. It's today. Okay, so come on. So salvation is the biggest issue. But besides salvation, the things that we are all facing, and we are all facing them, are the biggest issues right now. Amongst the biggest issues in life. And that includes the vaccine thing. And yet, this is what I struggle with, okay? It appears that for some people, these are the very issues they feel we shouldn't mention at all. Oh, don't go there. Don't talk about that. Well, why not? What's it? It's divisive. You know, because different people have different points. It's divisive. So you shouldn't talk about that. I must admit, I find that quite astonishing. I really honestly find it astonishing. Now, I'll hold my hand up, and perhaps The church social media is not the place to talk about it. I admit that. But that was out of the, that was from the heart of a concerned pastor, okay? So I apologise if that offended anybody. But these are big issues. And to say, well, we shouldn't talk about that. You know, somebody's going to get upset. Well, listen. A worldwide pandemic, we are told, with countless, well, with all the countries all over the world doing exactly the same things at exactly the same time, even repeating all the same mantras and the call for everyone on planet Earth to take a vaccine, which some allege has not been fully tested. And we're not supposed to talk about that. Seriously? I mean, I'll be honest with you. It wouldn't matter whether it were vaccines or something else. But the minute some politicians or big wigs in the globalist elite tell us that everyone, and I mean everyone on planet Earth, has to do whatever it is. Now, I'm sorry, but immediately I'm suspicious. Immediately I'm thinking, well, there was a time when a king said, everybody is going to have to bow to my image when they hear the music. And there can be no exceptions. If you hear the music, you bow. And there can be no exceptions to that. Well, the minute somebody says, everybody's got to do this, there should be alarm bells going off in your mind. And yet, some people are saying, well, we're not supposed to talk about this. Why not? Because somebody's going to get upset. Strange. Yet everyone, at some stage, is going to have to make a decision. And see, as a pastor, it'd be an easy thing in my world to avoid every difficult subject that comes along. And if I wanted to do that, I definitely wouldn't be talking about predestination in election this morning. So there. Because, as I said this morning, sadly, over the years, I've lost friends through that. And I don't like that. The easiest thing in my life to just say, well, let's just skirt around every difficult issue that comes along. Let's not mention, you know, the LGBTQ, whatever else it is. You know, let's just not mention any of it. And then we avoid all controversy. Be good, that, wouldn't it? But is that what a pastor should really do? No. Let me just share this scripture with you from Ezekiel. It says here in Ezekiel 33, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. So, I take that to mean that as a pastor, if I see something or hear something that I think is a potentially dangerous thing, and I don't warn people, then I fail in my duty. You see what I'm saying? You can skirt around it all. But you see, these are big issues. And I shall be telling you why in a few weeks' time. Similarly, with this lockdown and the advice to stay home or recommendations that even though here in the UK you can go to church, it would be far better for you and far safer for you and for everybody else if you just stay home, watch it all on TV. Far better. So the experts say. So what do you do? What should you do as Christians? Well, see, I believe that the answers to all these questions are in the Bible. In fact, I would be totally amazed if the Bible had nothing to say about the situation we're in right now. I'd be amazed. But actually, I know it does. It does. So that's what these messages are going to be all about. Okay, so I might leave it there this evening. I'm sorry if somebody wanted me to go into the nitty-gritty of whatever. But we will be doing in weeks to come, trust me. See, and I will finish with this. You see, some people say, it tells us in the Bible that, you're talking about Mark of the Beast and, that's the Antichrist reign and all that. We know what it says in the Bible, Ian, that, that the Antichrist, the man of sin, will not be revealed until he that restraineth is taken out of the way. And that is, the Holy Spirit in the church is taken out at the rapture. So until that's happened, the Antichrist will not be revealed. So there. So whatever you want to say is happening now is something to do with that. Can't be, because the rapture hasn't happened yet. But wait a minute. It says he will not be revealed until the rapture. That doesn't mean to say he isn't here now. Just hasn't been revealed. And I put it to you that the beast could well be here now. And what you've got to understand is this too. That the beast is a person, but the beast is also a system. The beast is also a kingdom. And you see, what I would strongly suggest to you, that all of that is already here. It's just that he has not yet been revealed. You may know who he is, but you don't know he's the Antichrist. But you may know him. Well, conversely, you might not. He might be just one of the puppet masters behind the scenes who's pulling all the strings right now. But I can tell you this, it's all coming to pass. And that's what these Bible studies are about. Let's not relegate it all to the future, friends. Let's realise we are where we are now. And of any generation in the church, we should be the ones who realise rapture. Well, the Lord's at the door. At the very door. Therefore, we need to know what we should do. And I should finish on this point. I should say, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is what you must do. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And I'm going to finish on that, because that's telling us what we should do as Christians. We've got to continue in this. Amen. We've got to continue with this. These are the things that we've learned from those who went before, the things we've become assured of. So when some bod comes on the television and says, it'd be far better if you just listen to us. Far better if you stay home. Far safer for you and for everybody. What I suggest you do is continue in the things that you learned from those who went before, the things that you've been assured of. Yeah, but it's not safe. Hang on a minute. Is God able or is he not? Come on. So I want to pray and then we'll finish with our last song. Gracious Father, we thank you that, Lord, your word does bring light. And Lord, whilst we've just this evening talked around some issues, Lord, I pray that, Lord, from this, Lord, you'll give each of us a desire, Lord, to look at your word and to think these things through. Lord, in a sensible way, in a righteous way, in a way that, Lord, would consult your word and Lord, do what is ultimately right in your eyes. Lord, you've not left us as orphans. You've not left us adrift. You've not left us, Lord, to the whims and the dictates of ungodly men and men whose knowledge is limited in the extreme to guide us through what is a crisis. Lord, you've given us your word and you've given us your Holy Spirit. So I pray that over these next few weeks, as we look at some of these things, that Lord, you'll lead us in your way and in your truth. For this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.